Brothers and sisters, thank you for being here. Thank you for your faith, your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness and your examples. I'm very grateful for the choir that we've heard, the chorus, as they sang about our Lord, your Redeemer and my Redeemer, your Savior and my Savior, our kind, wise, heavenly friend. I'm grateful for them. And I'm grateful for those who have made this event possible. Today, I've invited Brother Gabriel Abellio, Sister Emma Ray Francis, and Sister Kate McConlogue, who are seated here to my left, to help me introduce my topic. So they're going to stand, they're going to wave at you, they're going to snigger at you, and then for right now, go ahead and have a seat now, that'd be fine. For this demonstration, I want you to consider that these three individuals represent all the children of God who've come to the earth. As such, they're beloved of God and guaranteed immortality because of the Savior's resurrection. They need do nothing for these blessings to be realized. But they don't want to simply remain beloved children of God. They want to grow up and become co-inheritors with Jesus Christ of all that Heavenly Father has. And they don't want to simply be guaranteed immortality. They want to receive eternal life, the kind of life Heavenly Father has. For these additional blessings to be realized, they each need to do something. They need to make and keep covenants with God. The covenants God established are based on eternal, unchanging law. There's only one way to return to live with God, and it is designated as the covenant path. The phrase covenant path refers to a series of covenants through which we come into Christ and connect to Him and our Heavenly Father. Making and keeping covenants is how we reconcile ourselves to God. These covenants are non-negotiable. They transform, save, and exalt us. We make them by participating in priesthood ordinances. In return for keeping these covenants, God guarantees us certain blessings. A covenant is a pledge that we should prepare for, clearly understand, and absolutely honor. For everyone, the covenant path starts with the covenant of baptism. For men, the covenant path includes the essential step of receiving the Melchizedek priesthood. For all, the covenant path continues with the covenants and the temple endowment, which encompasses five covenants. These five covenants, however, are not separable. You can't choose to make a subset of the five. You make all five or none. The final covenant we make with God in the temple is the one that's made when a man and a woman are sealed together in the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. Why are multiple covenants needed? Well, it's because the multiple covenants are not only sequential, but they're also additive and even synergistic in our relationship with God. Each covenant adds a bond, drawing us closer to and strengthening our connection with God. To demonstrate this, we brought these exercise bands. Brother Abellio, Sister Francis, and Sister McConlogue, they're going to stand here and they're going to face Sister Renland. I realize that's a scary proposition. Now, bend your arms and Sister Renland will loop the exercise bands over your wrists. Notice, brothers and sisters, that Sister Renland loops the band only once around Brother Abellio's wrists. She loops the band twice around Sister Francis' wrists. Finally, she loops the band three times around Sister McConlogue's wrists. Sister McConlogue's wrists have the greatest probability of becoming ischemic. Now, see how far you can easily stretch your hands apart. And then see who has really the easiest time slipping one hand out from the band. As you can see, Brother Abellio has the easiest time stretching his hands apart and pulling a hand from the band. It's most difficult for Sister McConlogue and intermediate for Sister Frances. Now, Sister Renland will remove the bands, and then we'll have our victims take a seat. This simple demonstration is metaphorically what happens when we make and keep multiple covenants with God. We're drawn closer to Him and develop a stronger bond with Him. But what about those who choose not to make multiple covenants with God? A certain risk to achieving one's eternal destiny may creep in. So before we look at the exercise bands again, let's look at the effect of risk factors in predicting negative outcomes. This will take all of us into beginning statistics courses. Some of us, like President Reese, will experience a sense of euphoric nostalgia. And others of us will develop or redevelop hives. To avoid discussing risk in the abstract, let me discuss risk factors in the context of heart disease. Risk factors for having a heart attack include being male, growing older, tobacco use, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, high blood sugar, and a family history of heart attacks. These risk factors that are highlighted, I can't do anything about. I'm male. I'm not going to do anything about that. I'm 71 years old, and I'm growing older. I can't do anything about that, and I don't like the alternative. My father had a heart attack at age 77. I can't choose healthier parents. However, if I'm wise, I control the things that I can control to minimize my risk of having a heart attack. I don't smoke. I monitor my blood pressure. I treat my high cholesterol. I try to maintain ideal body weight. And my blood sugar is periodically checked. In fact, despite being 71, through diet and exercise, I have the body of a 70-year-old. Risk factors are not determinative of heart health, though. Even a person with multiple cardiovascular risk factors can mitigate the risk by taking appropriate measures. And even individuals with no known risk factors for heart attacks have heart attacks. Known risk factors account for only approximately 50% of heart attacks. Not having a risk factor doesn't mean we'll never have a heart attack. It simply means that we're less likely than we otherwise would be. Now that we've briefly reviewed how risk factors work, let's apply the idea of risk factors to the effect of making multiple covenants along the covenant path. When we make the first covenant, baptism, we form a bond with God. Let's have our victims come back up, and let's have Brother Abellio stand and have Sister Renland loop the band once around his wrists. Consider that one of his hands represents God, and the other represents you, Brother Abellio. This one loop represents the bond that's made with God when we're baptized and confirmed. And again, see how easy it is for you to move away from God. Move those arms apart. Don't break the covenant. They just also check and see how easy it is for you to slip a hand out of the covenantal bond. Now put it back. Now Sister Renland will loop the band twice around the wrists of Sister Frances again. The two loops represent making two covenants, baptism and the endowment. For simplicity, I'm grouping the five covenants in the endowment as one. Sister Frances, see how easy it is you to move away from God. Stretch those apart. And check and see how easy it is for you to slip a hand out of the covenantal bond. And now put them back. Helper Ruth. When we've been both baptized and endowed, we have less risk of wandering away from God. Finally, Sister Renlund will loop the band 3 times around Sister McConlogue's wrists. This represents adding the sealing to a spouse to the covenants of baptism and the endowment. Now, compared to Sister Frances, it's even harder for Sister McConlogue to move away from God. It's also harder for her to slip her hand out and separate herself from God. Now put her back, Ruth. When we add the sealing of a spouse to baptism and the endowment, we further decrease our risk to separate ourselves from God because the bond is stronger and draws us closer. In other words, making multiple covenants along the covenant path helps us mature in our discipleship. Brother Abellio, Sister Frances, and Sister McConlogue, you're now going to get those bands off. Sister McConlogue will try to revive her fingers, and you can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for being our victims. President Russell M. Nelson suggests that we deepen our relationship with God when we make multiple covenants. He said, God has a special love for each person who makes a covenant with him in the waters of baptism. And that divine love deepens as additional covenants are made and faithfully kept. This means that we develop a stronger and closer connection to God through those multiple covenants. When we confront life's challenges, the likelihood is decreased that we distance ourselves from God. Baptism is the first covenant that everyone makes on the covenant path. The baptismal covenant is a public witness to Heavenly Father of 3 specific commitments: to serve God, to keep His commandments, and to be willing to take on the name of Jesus Christ. The other facets that are frequently associated with the baptismal covenant, that we bear one another's burdens, mourn for those that mourn, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, are fruits of making the covenant rather than part of the actual covenant. These facets are important because they're what a converted soul would naturally do. The next covenant that everyone makes on the covenant path is the endowment. As I mentioned, the endowment consists of 5 inseparable covenants. As I review each, see how they align with and reinforce aspects of the baptismal covenant. In the endowment, we first covenant to live the law of obedience. This means that we strive to keep Heavenly Father's commandments. It aligns squarely under the baptismal covenant promise to keep God's commandments. Second, we covenant to obey the law of sacrifice. This means sacrificing to support the Lord's work and to repent with a broken heart and contrite spirit. This covenant aligns with the baptismal promises to serve God and to keep His commandments. Additionally, repentance is a key aspect of taking on the name of Jesus Christ. Third, we covenant to obey the law of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do this in part by living the doctrine of Christ. This includes making covenants with God by receiving the ordinances of salvation and exaltation and keeping those covenants throughout our lives. The covenant includes striving to live the 2 great commandments, to love God and neighbor. This covenant aligns with all 3 aspects of the baptismal covenant. Fourth, we covenant to keep God's law of chastity. This means abstaining from sexual relations outside of a legal marriage between a man and a woman. Marriage was intended by God to mean the complete merger of a man and a woman, their hearts, hopes, lives, love, family, future, everything, to be one flesh in their life together. We can't achieve the kind of life our Heavenly Father enjoys without a complete commitment to fidelity within a marriage to our husband or wife, according to God's plan. This covenant aligns with the aspect of the baptismal covenant to keep God's commandments. Fifth, we covenant to keep the law of consecration. This means that we dedicate ourselves and everything the Lord blesses us with to build up his church. The keys of the holy priesthood were restored so that priesthood ordinances could be performed, allowing us to make covenants with God. It's only through the restored church of Jesus Christ that this can be done for God's children on both sides of the veil. We pledge our support to God's work. This covenant aligns with the aspect of the baptismal covenant to serve God. Additionally, this covenant aligns with taking on ourselves the name of Christ because we promise to permanently maintain a mightily changed heart. Now, the stage is set for the covenant associated with the sealing of a woman and a man together. In this ordinance, they receive promises, they make a covenant with each other, and they make a covenant with God. To review the promises, let's go back thousands of years. Abraham received the gospel and entered into celestial marriage, which is the covenant of exaltation. Abraham received a promise that all the blessings of his covenant would be offered to his mortal posterity. Everyone who embarks on the covenant path becomes Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When a man and a woman are sealed to each other, they're promised these blessings, just as Abraham was. The blessings include that they'll come forth in the first resurrection, inherit thrones, kingdoms, principalities, powers, dominions, and they shall pass by the angels to their exaltation and glory in all things, which glory shall be a fullness and a continuation of the seeds forever and ever. During the sealing, a woman makes a covenant with her husband, and a man makes a covenant with his wife. The tasks of mortality become joint. Husband and wife both enter into an order of the priesthood that neither could enter singly, and that's necessary to enter the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. They serve each other and their children, and thereby serve God. As a man and a woman are sealed, they covenant with God to keep all the commandments related to marriage in the new and everlasting covenant. The elements of the endowment and the sealing align with and reinforce all three aspects of the baptismal covenant. Each aspect of the baptismal covenant and the covenants of the endowment and sealing overlap and mutually reinforce each other. We're not forced to or compelled in any way to stay in a covenantal relationship with God, even after we choose to make these covenants. When we make a covenantal bond with God, we share a covenant with Him. We experience and participate in that covenant. This is also true for a woman and a man when they're sealed. They make a covenant with each other. I believe it's misleading to think that one is bound to the other for eternity. They're not enslaved, coerced, shackled, or under compulsion. Rather, they share and experience the covenant together. Agency continues to be an overriding component of eternal marriage. No one will be forced to live in a marriage they don't choose or accept, even after the temple sealing. Like multiple loops of the exercise bands, multiple covenants draw us closer to God and strengthen our connection to Him. The purpose of these bonds is to help us become more converted, faithful, and committed disciples of Jesus Christ. My personal experience suggests that, over time, the adults who have been baptized, endowed, and sealed to a spouse are the most likely to maintain and deepen their discipleship along the covenant path. Less likely to do so are adults who have been baptized and endowed but are not sealed to a spouse. Least likely to maintain and deepen their discipleship over time are the adults who have been baptized but are not endowed. As our discipleship matures, we add the covenants of the endowment to our baptismal covenant. That binds us more strongly to God. Then, if the blessing comes of being sealed to a spouse, the covenant bond can become even stronger. Please remember, though, that risk factors are not determinative. You and I know individuals who have not been endowed who are remarkably faithful disciples of Christ. And we know those who have been sealed to a spouse who are not. Faithfulness is an individual choice about how we live the covenants we've made. Not being sealed to a spouse doesn't halt your progression in your discipleship to the Savior. As you continue being valiant to your testimony of Jesus Christ, your progression continues. That said, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have invitations for each of you. My invitation for those who have been baptized but are not yet endowed is that you prepare for and receive your endowment. The decision to receive the endowment is personal and should be made prayerfully. It depends only on your agency, no one else's. Further, it's not the role of anyone else. Leaders, friends, peer groups, family, or me to decide this for you or to unduly influence you to do so. For most of you listening to me today, you meet all the criteria to be endowed if you feel a desire to receive and honor sacred temple covenants throughout your lives. Until you're ready, continue to prepare. This includes qualifying for and using a temple recommend for proxy baptisms and confirmations, and doing family history work. Also, focus intently on the covenant you have already made. Conscientiously partake of the sacrament weekly. If you choose to miss sacrament meeting when you could attend, you place yourself in spiritual jeopardy. Continue to faithfully live the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you accept this invitation, it will have the metaphorical effect of shrinking the red exercise band, drawing you closer to God. Let's turn to those who have been baptized and endowed, but are not sealed to a spouse. We all know that being sealed to a spouse involves someone else's agency. You don't determine this step solely on your own. My invitation focuses on what you can do. If being sealed to a spouse is not yet your blessing, to the extent that involves your agency, don't delay taking advantage of your opportunities. Don't close the door to the possibility. President Dallin H. Oaks taught in May 2023, a loving Heavenly Father has a plan for his young adults, and part of that plan is marriage and children. We counsel you to channel your associations with the opposite sex into dating patterns that have the potential to mature into marriage. Remember, eternal life is not a question of current marital status, but of discipleship. That is, being valiant in the testimony of Jesus. You receive access to the grace of Christ through obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Additionally, I invite you to focus on the covenants you've made. Go to the temple often and participate in family history work. Conscientiously partake the sacrament weekly. As you do, you will strengthen your connection with Jesus Christ. To those who are never sealed to a spouse in this life or whose sealing didn't turn out as they hoped, consider this comforting promise made by President Lorenzo Snow in 1899. Speaking of unmarried women, he stated that there seems to be considerable lamentation in regard to this condition. There is no need of this particularly, but some very foolish doctrine has been presented to some of the sisters in regard to this and other things of a kindred nature. There is no Latter-day Saint who dies after having lived a faithful life who will lose anything because of having failed to do certain things when opportunities were not furnished him or her. They will have all the blessings, exaltation, and glory that any man or woman will have who had this opportunity. They will have the means furnished them by which they can secure all the blessings necessary for persons in the married condition. Now, I feel compelled to add that you shouldn't obsess about whether you had the opportunity to be sealed to a spouse and missed it, or that your sealing in a house of the Lord didn't turn out as you hoped. Don't second guess yourself. God's grace is sufficient for all. Anything that is unfair in life can and will be made right through the atonement of Jesus Christ. As you accept this invitation, this too will have the metaphorical effect of shrinking the yellow exercise band, drawing you closer to God. For those who have been sealed to a spouse, this sealing is a milestone, not a bookend in your life. You need to press forward and focus on the covenants you've made, just as I've encouraged the others to do, conscientiously partaking of the sacrament, worshiping in the temple, and doing family history work. In addition, seek to become a better spouse by acquiring Christ-like attributes. Become the spouse your spouse deserves. If you're blessed to be a parent, become the parent your children deserve. As you accept this invitation, this too will have the metaphorical effect of shrinking the green exercise band, drawing you closer to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, and strengthening your covenantal bonds with them. Whether you have one, two, or three loops, heed the Savior's caution. But there is a possibility that man may fall from grace and depart from the living God. Therefore, let the church take heed and pray always, lest they fall into temptation. Yea, and even let those who are sanctified take heed also. God established multiple covenants to bless us, not condemn us. Focusing intently on the covenants we have made and preparing for the next one is the best way to prepare to receive all that Heavenly Father has. It's how we think celestial. I testify that Jesus Christ is mighty to save. He desires a close relationship with you, even a covenantal relationship. I pray that you may make covenants with real intent and allow those covenants to bless you now and into the eternities. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.